When I was in college, one of my neighborhoods that we've been talking about these past few weeks was my baseball team. I played baseball in college, and so I spent a lot of time with these guys day in and day out. And a lot of the guys on my team were big poker players, and they would play all the time. I played with them every so often. I always had like a $5 limit. It was just so I could just be with them. And my strategy when I played poker with them was really just to stay in the game as long as I could. I didn't want to get out in the first 10 minutes and then have to sit around the rest of the night watching. Well, one night I was doing pretty well. My chips were building a little bit at a time, and it was kind of a rare thing. But there was a guy at my table who was probably one of the best poker players on the team, and he started getting really frustrated. And at one point he'd had enough. And for about the next six or seven hands, he put all his chips on the table almost every hand. And me, just trying to stay in the game, I was like, okay, I'm out, I'm out. And within about six or seven hands, I was out. The difference was that he was playing to win, and he was willing to go all in, and I was just playing to stay in the game. Now, I had my reasons for playing, and he had his, and poker was not something I wanted to go all in for, necessarily. But I think by analogy, the question comes to us as disciples of Christ, as Christians, as members of a church. How do we approach our faith, and how do we approach the church? Are we kind of playing just to stay in the game, have a comfortable, safe place to come on Sunday, get into heaven when we die? Or are we willing to go all in? Because that's God's call. From the beginning of the story to the end of the story, God's call is to go all in, to put all our chips on the table and say, this is the life that I want to live. And that's what struck me as I was reading this week. I was thinking about our vision and reading a couple different passages where God calls people into a particular new vision that he's giving them. And it really struck me that this is God's call. We read in Joshua 24. And the people of Israel are finished with the wilderness. They're just about to enter into the promised land. And Joshua approaches the people and he says, all right, it's time for you to make a decision. Do you want to serve other gods or do you want to serve the Lord? And they say, well, of course we want to serve the Lord. But what is Joshua practically tries to talk them out of it, doesn't he? Joshua tries to talk these people out of serving the Lord. He says, no, maybe you don't realize what you're signing up for. This is a big deal. This is not just, you know, put a couple ante up and put a couple chips on the table. God is saying, go all in for me. And I think we need to consider, what is it, how do we view the Christian life that we might want to talk someone out of? Is it just going to church every Sunday? Is it just, you know, doing some spiritual thing here or there? What is Joshua calling the people to do? What is he saying it means to be the people of God? That he would actually try and convince them not to because of how what a high calling it is. And Jesus is the same way. When Jesus talks to his disciples, he doesn't say, you know, just kind of hang out with me once in a while. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, you need to take up your cross and follow after me. And he tells them to count the cost, is what he tells his disciples. Is this new way of life, is this life of following me worth it? Are you willing to give what you need to give to be a part of my kingdom? And the early church, as we saw in Acts 2 as it was read, and we've been reading Acts 2 throughout the fall, but we have a little more context this morning. When Peter speaks the gospel to the crowds, and they say, well, what should we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. And those are really churchy words, but really they're quite simple. He says, turn. He says, you're going one direction, you need to completely turn around and go the other way. That's what repent means. And the word baptize, we think sprinkling water and stuff like that. And it's a word, though, in the Greek that means to immerse, to be immersed. So Peter, what he says to the people who want to follow Jesus, who are cut to the heart by this gospel message, is what you do in response is a radical thing. To turn to a new way of living. and to immerse yourselves into the life of God. And the rest of the passage about devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers and giving all that they have and having all things in common, that is their response. That for them is what it looks like to go all in and to turn and be immersed in the kingdom of God, was to spend this life together. So as we've been thinking about our vision statement throughout the fall, living the gospel life together as we glorify God in whole life worship, as we grow as disciples by word and spirit, as we glow with Christ's love in our neighborhoods, as we've been talking about that throughout the fall, this is not like three or four easy steps to church growth. So once we, you know, have this vision statement, all of a sudden we're going to be this great, dynamic, growing church. The vision statement is a picture, and I think a really good picture, of what God is calling us to go all in for. To go all in to glorifying God in whole life worship. To go all in growing as a disciple. To go all in mission and glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. The vision statement is what God, I think, is calling us to in the scriptures, this kind of life. And the thing that will make the difference is not the statement as much as whether we are willing to go all in for those things. So I want to kind of put it all together now and ask, you know, instead of looking at each line of the vision statement separately, what's the big picture that we're talking about here in this statement? What does it mean to live the vision that we have been communicating about throughout the fall? We've said the main idea is to live the gospel life together, and that there are three parts of that. Worship, discipleship, and mission. Glorifying, growing, and glowing. And so, what it means to live this vision is, first of all, that every member of this church is a worshiper. Every member is a worshiper. You want to shine the spotlight on God, and so we sing together and we pray together, but more than that, our whole life is oriented to bringing glory to God in what we do. So that worship, and when we gather for worship, it's inseparable from the rest of our lives. That's what whole life worship is. It means that we bring our lives out there into here and let this together be a response to what God is doing in the rest of our lives. And that we take what we do in here and the praise and the joy and the confession and the thanksgiving and the listening to God's word, we then take out there and let that worship shape the rest of our lives. So every member is a worshiper, not just as a tradition or a habit, but as a response to the God that we're seeing and experiencing moving in our lives. Every member is a worshiper. Every member is a disciple. A disciple is someone who knows and is learning the story of God and being formed by the Holy Spirit. We need to know the story of God, not just the Bible story. So not just like David and Goliath and Jonah and these things. We need to know the whole story of God that he is telling about restoring this world, making a new creation. And we need to know the story not just from cover to cover of the Bible, but to understand how the story is still going on and that we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of this story that God is living out and telling to the world. And we need to know it. Being a disciple means to become more and more like Christ. And so that's why we say, growing as disciples by word and spirit. The word is the story, and the spirit is who actually makes us into people who resemble Jesus to the world and have the character of Christ living inside of us. And when we talk about discipleship, I just want to say, not one more time, but again, that I am absolutely convinced that the sweet spot for the Spirit's work of discipleship is in small communities. That it comes when we gather, not as this kind of small community, but as we gather in very small communities, in homes, a group 5, 10, 12 people, getting into the Word and asking the Spirit to come in and sharing our lives together. That is where discipleship happens. In small communities. And we get bigger from there and we can get smaller from there. But that's where it really happens. In small communities like our focus groups. Every member is a worshiper. Every member is a disciple. Every member is a missionary. And that's what we spent the last 2 weeks on. A missionary, someone who brings the kingdom of God to bear in every part of their lives. People who are willing to step out and engage people on a deeper level. So mission is not just a mission trip or a project that we do once in a while. Mission is a thing we do wherever we live. In our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our social groups, in our families. We have a mission there to glow with Christ's love, to bring God's love to bear on people's lives wherever we are. So every member is a worshiper, every member is a disciple, every member is a missionary. So a community living with this vision, living out this vision, is a community that is filled with worshipers and disciples and missionaries. And not in like three groups, like we have the worshipers and the disciples and the missionaries over here, but all in one. And so I'm coining a term right now, and I Googled this, so and there were no hits on it. So this is a new word, I'm pretty sure. All right, so we want to be a community that is filled with worshipularies. All right, worshipers, disciples, and missionaries. You got it? See, Kevin was looking at that my script, like, what in the world is that? A worshipulary. That's what we want to become. People who are just immersed in worship and discipleship and mission. And that's why when we have the picture, the picture that I've been showing you is of these circles, and they overlap. The glorifying and the glowing and the growing. Circles overlap because we really are worshipers when we're seeing God move in mission and in discipleship. When we're seeing God move in our lives and when we're seeing God move in other people's lives, that's when we really want to worship. And mission needs discipleship. If you're going to make an impact on people for Jesus, you have to be becoming more like Christ. And so you can't really do mission unless you're growing as a disciple. And discipleship naturally, inherently moves into mission. Because what does it mean to follow Jesus? Jesus was a missionary. So to follow Jesus means to be in mission. So all of these circles overlap. Worshippers, disciples, and missionaries, worshipularies. Write it down. Now, see, my question, though, is as you listen to this and the vision and what it means for us, what it means to go all in to this vision, I want to hear your thoughts on what that feels like to hear this call. Just anything that comes to mind. To be honest, what do you think? As you've been listening to the vision throughout the fall, as you've been listening to me kind of put the pieces together right now, what do you think about this vision and going all into something like this? Exciting? Hard? Yeah. So just to be being clear about like what we're pursuing. So tangible, exciting, hard.
Scary.
Scary. Yeah. And actually that was what came to my mind this week as I was writing through this sermon. Scary, hard, exciting, all of these things, because it is. It's all of those. It's not easy. It's not an easy path. I think it can feel overwhelming to say, I'm going to be this whole life worshiper and this disciple who's growing and this missionary who's glowing with Christ's love in my neighborhood and all of this. I think that can be overwhelming. And maybe it can even sound a bit oppressive, like a heavy weight or a burden on your shoulders. And I sense that too. And so I thought, how would I respond to myself? And how would I respond to you if you're feeling this way? And I have two responses. If you're feeling somewhat overwhelmed or scared of this vision, and my first response is, it's a vision. It's not where we are right now or where we're going to be tomorrow. It's a picture of kind of an ideal of who we ultimately want to be. It's the destination that we're on a journey to. So it's not something that we all are right now, or it's going to take a week or 2 weeks to get there. Okay? It's kind of like when In college and seminary, they always talked about syllabus shock. So you get the syllabus on the first day of class, and you're like, holy cow. You know, look at all the things I'm supposed to know. But the syllabus isn't about, like, what you're supposed to be right now and know right now. It's saying, once you have gone through the course, this is what you will know and what you will be able to do. So on one hand, this vision is like that syllabus. This is who we want to become as we go through the process, and it gives us direction for the tangibleness for what we are actually pursuing as a church. That's my first response. My second response, though, is the gospel life and the call of God is kind of hard and scary. And we are going to be tired at times and frustrated and discouraged at times as we pursue this vision. And I think anyone who says or tells you that the Christian life is like this easy thing that's going to fix all your problems hasn't read the Bible very well, or isn't communicating it very well. Because as we've seen in Joshua, and we could go back to Moses, and we look at Jesus in the early church, they didn't say it was going to be easy. They said it was going to be better. The gospel life is not an easy life. The gospel life is a life that does bring healing, that does bring hope to the world, that does experience what it means to live with God and experience his renewing power in our lives. The gospel is all of those things, but it's not easy. And so, this is kind of the choice. Are we willing to go all in, not just to the vision statement? The vision statement is just kind of our words, but are we willing to go all in to the call of God that is a hard and overwhelming but exciting and joyful and powerful thing? And as I was thinking about this past week, I realized that this is the decision that faces me too. And I said it's kind of overwhelming. For me to think about this. And over the past few weeks, there have been a number of times as I've read and as I've listened to things and been different places where I've been really impressed by, not necessarily impressed in a good way, but felt the weight and the difficulty of this calling. And thought, am I willing? Do I really want my life to be about this? Not just as a pastor, but as a Christian. Is this something I'm willing to give my life to? Because as I'm calling you to the hard process of personal transformation and growth, I'm called to the hard process of personal transformation and growth. As I'm calling you to the messiness of being in real community with each other, I'm called to the messiness of being in community with each other. And as I'm calling you all to be a part of this intimidating kind of mission life where we go into difficult neighborhoods with the gospel and speak it and live it, I'm called to a mission in my own neighborhoods. And so am I willing to put all of my chips on the table and say, yes, this is what I want my life to be about? And I think the answer is yes. To living that gospel life, not just living the gospel life, but to living it with you. To walk with you all through that process and through that pursuit of that vision. And to walk with you all as your pastor and hopefully lead you in that direction. And so, I am all in, I think. I hope. And the deciding factor for me in all of it is that God is not calling us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us. You see, God has already gone all in for us. God went all in for us when he created this world and gave us a special place in his heart. Us, who had the freedom to turn away and neglect and break God's heart, he put us right in the center of his heart. And he went all in for us. And when we did turn away from God and neglect him and break his heart, he didn't jump ship. God went all in and said, I'm going to not just scrap it, I'm going to restore it, this world. I'm going to restore these people. And God went all in when he took on flesh and moved into our neighborhood and became one of us so that he could walk with us and teach us and show us the gospel life. And God went in all in for us when he walked to the cross and became sin for us and died the death that we should die. And God went all in for us when Jesus walked out of the tomb on Easter morning to begin this new creation project, this kingdom of God thing, this healing, restoring project in the world. And God went all in for us when he invested his spirit in a group of people like us and enlisted us to be a part and participate in this new creation project. And when he promised that in doing that, he would be with us always to the end of the age. God has gone all in for us. And the question for us is simply, how will we respond? Do we want to just play this church game? Or are we willing to go all in? And I want to go all in because I am so curious and excited and drawn to see all of what God can do in this community, in your lives and in my lives and in our life together, as we pursue him and as we pursue the vision that he's given us. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for calling us into a life that is so exciting and adventurous and joyful. And Lord, help us to cling to that when it really seems hard and scary and difficult. And help us to understand your call and count the cost and be honest with ourselves and with you about whether we really want to go all in for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would somehow give us the encouragement that we need to make that decision. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.